Lord, we thank you as we enter our third week of Lent, and we just again ask for a special outpouring of your Holy Spirit to strengthen us in our resolve to draw closer to you, especially in the area of worship. May we always be aware of what an amazing gift the Holy Eucharist is to us in our lives, and strive constantly to receive worthily this gift that you've given us so that we can become what we receive. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. So our Mass intention tonight is for the repose soul of Virginia Ramos. And I want to talk a little bit about the Eucharist. When I was reading the scripture readings in preparation for Mass tonight, a theme kind of immediately emerged with the money changes and the overturning of the tables. And that is, you know, that as Catholics, it's very easy for us to kind of get into habits and rituals and just kind of to mindlessly go through the motions and not really be engaged on the level of the heart. And I know for a fact that even as a priest, you know, it's really easy when I would have seven masses on a weekend to just kind of feel like a sacramental Coke machine, you know, just dispensing a product and not realizing that, you know, am I really engaged on the level of the heart at each mass that I'm celebrating? And in the back of the Roman Missal, there are prayers of preparation for the priest, and one of them basically says, you know, priest, this is your last mass. Celebrate it well so that you don't take for granted the gift of the Eucharist and that we're engaging on the level of our hearts. God doesn't want motions and just, you know, mindless rituals and stuff. He wants to transform our heart. And actually, the antiphon for the entrance antiphon, which we don't do because we have an opening song, was Ezekiel 36 about the new heart. I will place within you my spirit and give you a new heart. And that's so important that we're always trying to draw closer to the Eucharist. And most importantly, like St. Augustine said, to live it out, to become what we receive. When I was in Ireland for the International Eucharistic Congress, there was a big banner above the stage, and it said that, become what you receive. And I just kind of was staring at it, and I know St. Augustine's the one that said that. But that makes a beautiful prayer for us when we come to Mass. So the Eucharist is most importantly about a relationship. It is not just a blind ritual, and so we have to prepare ourselves for each celebration of the Mass. And we know that St. Paul in 1 Corinthians 11 tells us that we have to discern that this is the body and blood of Christ and to do as best we can to be worthily available to receive that with our hearts open for the grace of conversion. And so how do we prepare for Mass? You know, actually somebody came into the parish last week and said they get distracted during Mass, to which I responded, oh, you too? We all get distracted, you know. Orrin's so kind, he went and tweaked the sound system. We got the amplifier back now, so these middle speakers are working, but it was a little hot, so you could hear a little bit of feedback. But that was a distraction for me. It's like, instead of thinking, what's the scripture saying? The microphone's not working properly, you know. Technology, I do the Mass on the weekdays, and every now and then it doesn't work properly. and just like, you know, shut it down, and it's not the end of the world if it doesn't get broadcast, you know, to celebrate this Mass. So we all struggle with distractions. And St. Teresa would say, you know, if you're praying and you see a sailboat or something go by, just go with it. Don't make too big of a deal out of it. So, you know, you don't want to freak out, but at the same time, you ask the Holy Spirit to kind of bring you back to a prayerful place. And interceding for people, too, can be a great thing. We don't have too many noisy children in our parish right now. I'm not complaining. but, you know, one of the ways I dealt with that, because one day it was really bad, not here, it was in my other parish, is I just started praying for parents, thinking, you know, they're only here for 1 hour with you. They have them 24/7. What are you complaining about, right? Pray for parents to have patience and to, you know, always be loving moms and dads, even when their kids are having a conniption fit in their house and stuff. So we can intercede for people, too. If you find somebody you don't feel is being very reverent and talking during Mass, the best thing to do is to pray for them. Lord, I just pray they will be more sensitive, that we're here to worship and you're the focal point. And you know, so you can intercede and pray. That's one great way to kind of bring us back. And it's funny because one of the scriptures I wanted to quote was from St. Paul, and it happened to be the reading for evening prayer tonight as I was doing evening prayer. Do not receive the grace of God in vain. I think it's 2 Corinthians 6. I beg you, do not receive the grace of God in vain. And St. Faustina, I remember when I stumbled across this shortly after my trip to Poland, the pilgrimage, and this kind of convicted me. She said, this is the Lord talking to her about communion. My great delight is to unite myself with souls. When I come to a human heart in holy communion, my hands are full of all kinds of graces, which I want to give to the soul. But souls do not even pay attention to me. They leave me to myself and busy themselves with other things. Oh, how sad I am that souls do not recognize love. Recognize love. They treat me as a dead object. Ouch. As a dead object. Instead of saying, I'm encountering Jesus Christ now as I come forward for Holy Communion, His body, blood, soul, and divinity, we can get so easily distracted. So that was a wonderful help to remind, Lord, help my heart to be attentive and alert and grateful. Grateful. The Eucharist means to give thanks. And devotionals can help us a lot. And I was just sharing with a brother deacon, actually, that he hadn't heard of this, but The Imitation of Christ, it's one of my favorite devotionals, because you don't have to read it from start to end. You can just open it up to any chapter, and there's something helpful there for you. And book four, the last book in it, there's four books, is all about Holy Communion and how to receive Holy Communion worthily. So Thomas Akempis is the author of this book. For a while it was disputed, they didn't know who it was, but now they've settled it was Thomas Akempis, a monk, very humble monk. But he was kind of lamenting the fact that he was in church and seeing people receive Jesus and Holy Communion with great love and affection, sometimes in tears, and he wasn't feeling a lot. So he developed this little prayer to kind of help, Lord, help me to always be sensitive and available if you want to give me a consolation, even if you don't. And the most important thing is if you struggle with the Eucharist and even the belief and the real presence of Jesus, don't get into the paralysis of analysis. Just ask for more faith. Lord, help my unbelief. Isn't that our patron saint, St. Thomas? Lord, help my unbelief. So you just say, Lord, give me a deeper love and reverence for Holy Communion and the ability to live it out in my own life to become what I receive. So I'd like to end with this little prayer of his. It's called The Ardent Longing of Devout People for the Body of Christ, the Disciples. So this is him. How great is the abundance of your kindness, O Lord, which you have hidden from those who fear you. When I think how some devout persons come to your sacrament with the greatest devotion and love, I'm frequently ashamed and confused that I approach your altar and the table of Holy Communion so coldly and indifferently, that I remain so dry and devoid of heartfelt affection, that I'm not completely inflamed in your presence, O my God, nor so strongly drawn and attached as many devout persons who, in their great desire for communion and intense heart love, could not restrain their tears but long from the depths of their souls and bodies to embrace you, the fountain of life. These were able to appease and allay their hunger in no other way than by receiving your body with all joy and spiritual eagerness. The faith of these people was true and ardent, convincing proof of your sacred presence. They whose hearts burn so ardently within them when Jesus lives with them truly know their Lord in the breaking of bread. Such affection and devotion, such mighty love and zeal are often far beyond me. Be merciful to me, O sweet, good, kind Jesus, and grant me, your poor suppliant, sometimes at least to feel in Holy Communion a little of the tenderness of your love, that my faith may grow stronger, that my hope in your kindness may increase, and that charity, once perfectly kindled within me by tasting heavenly manna, may never fail. Your mercy can give me the grace I long for and can visit me most graciously with fervor of soul according to your good pleasure. For although I'm not now inflamed with as great desire as those who are singularly devoted to you, yet by your grace I long for this same great flame, praying and seeking a place among all such ardent lovers that I may be numbered among their holy company. So, Lord, help us not to take for granted this great gift of the Eucharist, which you've given us consistently for thousands of years as the living memorial of your death and resurrection and a foretaste of what's to come. May we always be prepared as best as possible and strive to become what we receive by the way we live our lives. We thank you for this gift. May we never take it for granted. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.